Welcome to our International Women's Day special. This is the reason why we're speaking English today. Indeed, with a special guest. We're spanning the world as she's joining us from Singapore. From her own experience, she knows what it takes to keep on advancing professionally. Lucy Han is an engineer by education, and today she is leading a global business at ABB as head of the business line Building Automation. I am really looking forward to our discussion.
Durch die Decke, der Advanced Podcast mit Alkistis Petropaki. Ein Podcast für Businessfrauen in der Schweiz mit Zahlen, Fakten, Inspiration und mutigen Geschichten.
Hello, Lucy. It's great to have you here with me today.
Thank you so much, Alkistis. And it's really truly a pleasure to have me here. And thank you for such a warm and thoughtful introduction.
Yes, and we feel very honored to have you, Lucy. So as always, we are asking our guests to bring us an object. We've asked you the same, and you brought us something very interesting. So tell us, what is it and what is the story behind it?
Yeah, so as you could see that today I brought something very simple with me, a Sudoku book.
Sudoku Inferno, it is called. That sounds interesting.
Yeah. Yes, it's a very little book, but it's a very powerful personal tool I have for my emotional control. I have been playing Sudoku for many years during my holidays while traveling on the train or airplane. And I really love how it keeps my brain challenged and constantly move between details and the bigger picture to solve problem back to forth. And to the puzzle finally makes sense. But that's not the most important part. Over time, I discovered something deeper. Sudoku can bring my brain into a logical thinking mode. And at the same time, it helps me regulate my emotions. When I stepped into my first leadership role years ago, I also joined my first leadership coaching session. I asked my coach the first question, very honest question, is how do I manage my emotions? And his answer was very simple, but unforgettable. He said, Lucy, if you are a human, you must have emotions. That's not the problem. The key is not let emotion manage you. Then he introduced to me that emotion came in different stages. At the early stage, you can still talk to yourself out of them. But at the last stage, there are some situations when you are already very angry, very triggered, and your logical brain shuts down. What he called, what he told me about the blue logical brain is completely dominated by the red emotional brain. And that stage can be dangerous. Because that when we say things we might regret. Mm-hmm. That when we make decisions, we later wish we didn't do that. My coach then asked me, what kind of logical games do you like? And I was thinking, yeah, I like to play a Sudoku. And he said, okay, good. Try it next time. So I did. Whenever I feel stressed, overwhelmed, or angry at work or even at home during an emotional discussion, I take out my Sudoku book. Just a few minutes and something happens. My brain slowly switched back into logical mode. The anger quickly fade away and start to see different perspectives. And then the empathy came back. I reconnect with myself again. So this book is my reset button, my secret weapon in a very demanding leadership life. As you can see, I'm already, in level 14 and 15. And, we all need such small personal solutions that keep us grounded, especially under pressure and before emotions start making decisions on our behalf. Because I really believe the strong leadership doesn't mean having no emotions. It means knowing how to manage them consciously.
What an interesting trick to manage emotions. And I liked very much what you said, right? We need to have emotions, but the moment those emotions become negative, then we are not anymore in control of them. So I love Sudoku as well. I haven't been using it up to now to as you are doing. I'm normally doing a Sudoku in the morning with my coffee. I use it as a wake up for my brain, and this works well for me. But this is a very nice tool, your reset button, as you said. I like this very much.
Yes, to start your day with a fresh mind.
Exactly. This is my Sudoku trick. But let's go back a little bit. Tell us a little bit about yourself, about your career. How did your career start?
Yeah, so I began my career at Siemens in China. And after graduation from an engineering university, and I started as application software developer for HVAC. When I started, I was the only woman in that team and surrounded by quite a lot of brilliant boy programmers. Then I quickly discovered something. I was not the fastest coder. I was not the one solving the most complex software puzzles. And actually, that was a tough realization. But instead of really heads-on to compete with all of these boys, I asked myself, what is my unique strength here? And that's when I found later I could be the one, find a way to translate technical complexities into clear, understandable language. And I could go to the customer to explain our product system in a way that they can easily understand technically, but also from the value creation standpoint. So that became my strength suddenly. And I wasn't just a developer, and I became a kind of a business enabler, technology enabler, that I can provide the best promotion, training, customer presentation. And this strength also supported me to be the first promotion to become a product manager quickly. And then exactly this opportunity also brought me from China to Switzerland. And that's the really turning point of changing my career and also my life, right? But the story doesn't stop here. When I came to Switzerland, start as product manager role, once again, I wasn't the most experienced person in the room. Many of my colleagues had years of the experience and knowledge, but I brought something different. I have a most deeper knowledge from the application point of view from my developer days. That knowledge helped me define the automation controllers with precise way and precise the match of the products. So again, my strength wasn't in doing what others did better, and it was in doing what only I could do better. That helped me stand out and also earning my next promotion. So I quickly also became a strategy and consulting manager. And there I was again surrounded by brilliant mindset from Siemens management consultants coming from McKinsey or top business schools. I couldn't make the perfect, the most beautiful slides. And I also have no experience in merger acquisition or corporate finance. But at this moment, I discovered I was the only one coming from the business. I know the product. I know the solution. I know the portfolio inside out. And I could utilize my knowledge to develop the strategies that we can really execute. And soon enough, I often became a business leader. So looking back, I really see the development of my career, and those transitions felt like each one is breaking through a different kind of a ceiling. Some made of glass, some very hard, and maybe even made by iron. But what got me through all this kind of a ceiling or breaking through was this mindset. First, you just need to believe in yourself and identify your individual or each point, the unique strengths, and used it as your hammer to break through. And I think that's the secret. Then you can really become later on a solid leader and to prepare for your future.
I like this strategy to advance in your career, right? And I think it's something that we are not doing consciously, all of us, knowing what is our unique strength. You said before, I was not the fastest in coding, right? And things like that. And therefore, right, what is my unique strength? A very good strategy to advance in our careers. Now, how was it when you arrived in Switzerland? I mean, you have a different cultural background. You stepped into a new role. What is it that surprised you most when you first came here?
Yeah. Oh, so that's a long time ago. When I first moved from China to Switzerland to Europe, it was 2008, just after China Olympic Games. And I really experienced a real shock and coming from Beijing to Switzerland, living in Zug. And of course, there was a positive shock, right? How organized everything was.
A positive shock. I like this.
Yes, and how beautiful the mountains were, and how the reliable system works. Mm-hmm. But there was also another shock, maybe a bit of quiet and deeper one from my working environment. It was the shock of being a young Chinese woman engineer in the working environment that I suddenly felt very visible and at the same time, very alone. I came from Beijing and working in the engineering environment in China where women were present. Not fully equal, but definitely visible. You can really see women as engineer, product manager, or in R&D. When I joined a very international organization in Switzerland, I was really not expecting with so many nationalities, and most, of course, European, and most overwhelmingly male. I immediately felt this imbalance back to 2008. I believe now it's changing a lot. And I still remember my first large product management meeting on the Zug campus. Nearly more than 100 people, I believe, in that room. There's a leading by our CFO to talk about changing pricing model, whatever. And at one point, he suddenly asked me to stand up. Then he said, "Do you realize you are the only woman in this room?" That moment stays with me. It makes something very clear. In 2008, in engineering world in Switzerland, women were not just underrepresented. We were almost invisible. And invisibility creates a very quiet feeling of not fully belonging. And that's my first culture shock, I would say. And the second one actually is about how leadership and communication works in Europe compared to China. In China, you know, the communication or leadership is often about harmony. And we don't like to confront directly. And especially in the office, disagreement is often expressed carefully, sometimes in a very indirect way. And maintaining relationships matters deeply. But in Switzerland, and more broadly in Europe culture, leadership was much more vocal. Meetings were very direct for me at that moment. And opinions can fly and by challenging on and openly. And people could strongly disagree each other, even argue intensively in a meeting, which is completely shocked from another world person. And then... after arguing, they could even go out for a beer together. It sounds like nothing happened. And at the beginning, this was deeply uncomfortable for me. So I did what felt natural at that time. So I stayed quiet. And even although inside of my head, everything was moving fast. I had some ideas, opinions, even strong disagreement, but I kept them back. I didn't want to speak in the meeting and try to don't want to disturb the flow. And I even worried my English wasn't good enough. I worried my idea might not be accepted. And honestly, I even worried that speaking up too strongly would make me look too aggressive, especially as a woman. At the end of my first year review, my silence has become interpreted as disengagement, low performance, and even some questions on if I'm really qualified with my job. That was a turning point for me. And I realized something fundamental. In this environment, how important of your voice. And your voice is what gives you authority and respect. So that's the shock. And that's my really my takeaway back in 2008. So many women in engineering were alone in the room, or less women, not so many. And silence will make us even invisible. And finding our voice is not about being louder than men, but it's really to truly making us presence.
Yes. So speaking up is a powerful tool for women, even if they are the only ones in the room. And women in Switzerland are still underrepresented everywhere, not only in the tech field, unfortunately. Lena Schwertzmann from the Advanced team sheds light on an interesting aspect, the authority gap.
Mary Ann Siegert, the author of the book The Authority Gap, says that women are often judged as less competent until they prove otherwise, whereas men are assumed competent until proven otherwise. Examples in everyday workplace dynamics are women's ideas are interrupted or dismissed in meetings only to be recognized when voiced by a male colleague. Or confident women are labeled as aggressive or abrasive, while men displaying similar behavior are seen as assertive leaders. One of the most frustrating aspects of the authority gap is the double bind it imposes on women. If they assert themselves confidently, they risk being seen as unlikable. But if they avoid confidence to maintain likability, their competence is questioned. When scrolling through social media, two comments in this context from business women caught my eye. When I started my career, I thought I had to toughen up, talk louder, hide emotions, compete instead of connect, basically act like the successful man I thought I had to imitate. But here's what I've learned. Acting like a man doesn't make you a better leader. It just makes you exhausted. Another comment on LinkedIn says, a note to women leading in male-dominated industries. I used to believe I had to lead like a man to be taken seriously. Hard, driven, unemotional. No softness, no intuition. Just logic, control and results. It got me in the room, but it cost me pieces of myself. What I've come to understand through fire, failure and finally freedom is that our feminine traits were never weaknesses. They are our edge. So acting like a man is not really a solution, is it? According to the author of The Authority Gap, individuals and organizations can take action such as speaking up when they see women's ideas dismissed or ignored, or supporting women leaders by advocating for their ideas.
Hey, Lucy, when you hear about the authority gap, does this resonate with you as well?
Yeah, so it's so true. Absolutely. And to be very honest, Alexis, authority was never granted to me automatically. When I started my leadership journey in Switzerland, I was already very aware that I was different. And I'm Asian, I'm a woman, I came from different culture background. And very often, I was the person or youngest person or only woman at table in a very male-dominated engineering environment. But, you know, we live in a society where people are judged constantly by how they look, how they speak, and their nationality, their gender. And you know, those kind of judgment is leading how the authority and should be given or should be there. As an Asian woman with this kind of engineering background, building a career in Europe, I sometimes felt I had the least favorable combination for succeeding to earn the authority. But over time, I learned what make me different also make me strong. Authority was not given, but respect was also not given over years for me. It has to be earned, often with double, sometimes even triple the effort.
Mm-hmm.
And this didn't even stop when I became a business leader. After I was leading a business, I cannot count how many times I walked into meetings with new customers or new suppliers, and was simply me not being noticed. No greetings, no eye contact. I adapted and even learned sometimes to enjoy it. Because when you are not being noticed, you can observe. And I can listen carefully, and I can watch the dynamic in the meeting room. I can understand who influenced whom and where the real decisions were actually made. And very often, I became the last person to speak. And the one I tried to connect all the dots, summarize the discussions, and moving the decision forward. And earlier in my career, I made a conscious decision. If I earned a seat at the table, I would never waste it. I would speak up and put my ideas, thoughts, and expertise on the table, not just for myself, but also for many women who were not yet in the room. And then this as engineer, you know, we have been trained to solve the problem. But then what I learned is really the communicate your thoughts that gave me authority to lead people and later lead business. So speak up communication is what transformed this diversity from diversity to earn the authority from disadvantage into advantage. And you know, here is something interesting I have noticed. When I do speak up today, the appreciation I received from my male colleagues are often unusually strong now. Not just recognition, but it's a kind of deeper acknowledgement. And almost as if they sense that this kind of voice matters, it has been missing for a long time. So because they also believe the communication is just about speaking, it's also about courage, and it's about awareness. It's about adapting your voice. It can be heard. And that's definitely enable and earning faster the authority being different with compared with others.
Mm-hmm. I'm keeping in my mind what you said before, never waste the seat at the table, right? We need to speak up. I really relate to this. Before we go even deeper in the discussion, let's take a quick step back and look at what research and data say about leadership and authority. Alexandra Rina from the Advanced team has put together some interesting facts and figures for us.
In leadership positions, age and gender still matter. The latest gender intelligence report shows that leadership in Swiss organizations is largely a male over 40 domain. 83% of middle and top management roles are held by people over 40, and 77% of top managers are male. Age bias adds another layer to the leadership gap that women face. Research shows that younger leaders are widely perceived as less experienced, less authoritative, and less effective. They're granted less respect and prestige, even when their actual performance does not warrant these judgments. Zoom into tech, and the challenge shifts from getting access to belonging. The Advance White Paper, The Code of Belonging, revealed that many women leave the tech industry not because they lack skills, but because they do not feel included or taken seriously in male-dominated cultures. Stopping this leadership talent drain makes a lot of business sense. As research published in the Harvard Business Review proves, women are not just capable leaders, they're often rated higher than men on the majority of key leadership skills. In analysis, women scored higher than men across most measured competencies, including initiative, resilience, collaboration, and results orientation, outperforming men in 12 of 16 leadership skills.
So Lucy, you're an exception, actually. You are leading quite a big team of people, the majority of whom are men, white and older than you. So how do you do this?
Yeah, today my organization has a certain size. But, you know, I don't try to lead as a man. That's the first thing. I also don't soften myself to be nice too. I lead as myself. I lead with the passion and where I love the business and love this environment. I lead with clarity and with my strong value. And most important, also focusing on understanding who I am and then to understand others and influencing people in the way that they can respect. And, you know, early on, I realized I couldn't control how people initially perceived me. But what I can control was how I show up emotionally, intellectually, and most important, with self-awareness. That's where I truly believe you, if you want to be a good leader, you need to constantly and do your self-reflections. This is becoming really critical. You know, the good leaders are the reflective leaders. The ability how they step back, examine your own reactions, and challenge your assumptions. But, you know, there's an important thing that what I really like, the true intelligence is the ability to host two opposite ideas at the same time and still function. And so basically, I stop believing that maturity automatically comes with age or seniority. So it's more come how you reflect, how often you reflect, and then you can continue to learn and to correct and to accept your mistake and do not do the same mistake again and again. So in Chinese way that we say the true maturity means you can really work with anyone, not because you agree with anyone, but because you understand that difference is natural. And so basically you cannot change the perspective of people, but instead to respect. That's how I do. And as the facts, the data mentioned before, this also shows women start to really show the strength and women leaders show strength, how they collaborate, connect with people. I also have my way to really driving and implementing in my organization how the collaboration means and how we do the collaboration. Because everybody talk about collaboration, every company think that is important. And but it's the biggest challenge for the company and then in the business. From my experience that I learned and I lead and improving collaboration, not really forced, but then in the kind of process way that I am introducing and implementing with a culture transformation in my organization. So to build the collaboration is coming from several powerful steps. The first is to really get to know each other. And it's not just about get to know each other with the job, title, personal, behind all, but it's really understand them, understand that person and what's their context, their value, their stories, to see the 3D of that person. That's how empathy really begins. After you get to know, and second, really to invest time in relationship. And to this relationship is really heart to heart. And that's why you call it invest time in relationship. I often call that relationship is like opening a bank account when you start to connect that person. Then you need to, you know, spend time with that person, you know, talking, sharing, and slowly gaining more and more account in that bank account. And then you can really start to search to build a trust. very often we said the trust is not automatically there. You need to really earn the trust. There was a formula about the trust. It's a credibility plus reliability plus intimacy, and all of them together to divide the self-ego. So in one word, it's a trust coming from the consistency, openness, and then care about others' success. So when you have step one, get to know each other, and then invest in the relationship and building your trust, then the collaboration will be just automatically start flow naturally. In my organization, we are building this next generation collaboration, not by talking about it, but then we are just practicing this foundation, different steps. When the team achieves something, we also celebrate because we collaborate, we celebrate. We also recognize one from another. We make appreciation very visible and joyful because, you know, collaboration linked to those kind of celebrate and then achieve together. There's a Chinese very good saying I love is, the joy of one is not as great as the joy of many. So that's the inspiration of the collaboration, which I share with in my organization. And not just try to achieve the result, but then to enjoy the process, making sure that everybody feels seen, valued, and part of the win.
Mm-hmm. So authority doesn't come with age and seniority. You said it comes if you as a leader trust your people, right? Care about your people and celebrate successes. It's funny to know about this saying in China. We have the same in Greek, by the way, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So very important to celebrate successes all together as well. So, Lucy, what advice would you give someone who feels ready but keeps being overlooked?
I know that feeling very well. Earlier in my career, I was constantly recognized as young talent, nominated for almost every high potential program year after year. Until one day, I had a quiet realization. I was becoming the oldest young talent in the room and still not trusted with a real leadership authority. And my first leadership role came after more than 13 years as an individual contributor. I learned from that being ready is not enough. You have to be seen as ready. So here, what makes the difference and what I did first to really invest in yourself before the role arrives. As an engineering background, I decided I want to approach into the management position. So then I consciously invest in MBA, not as a title, but as really a transformation, a way to move from a pure engineering mindset to the leadership one. And to learn the strategy, finance, people, how to influence. So I aligned my readiness with impact. And to make your ambition visible. There's nothing wrong to be ambition. We have to say it clearly, repeatedly. And we need to ask for the role, ask for project, ask for responsibility, and show not only what you can do the job, but that you already are doing it through ownership, results, and follow through to really show that your ambition with capability. And the last one is a very important one many people are missing, is to build your sponsorship, build the sponsors, not just supporters. And, you know, you have a supporter like a mentor, but they gave you advice. But the sponsors create opportunities. Sponsors are those people speak for you when you are not in the room. And that changed everything, right? But the question is, how to find your sponsors to build that? And I want to share a secret. It's really the power of being a likable person. I mean, here, don't take me wrong. Likeable person here, I'm meaning not really people pleasing or lowering your standard. Being likeable means being trusted, relatable, and respected. And you know, the people, human-to-human connections can really amplify competence. And, you know, this is important, and the influence grows from there. I strongly believe in this. Competence earns the credibility. Likeability earns commitment. And, you know, finally, there's another important, don't overlook personal failure all the time. Focusing on your strengths. Build them. Collect evidence of your impact. Sometimes it's not about capability. And then also remember, sometimes it's also about timing. And so when timing meets preparation, then there's many doors that truly opens. And another thing I'm really thinking for younger people start to perceiving their career. This is a long time ago, I was a discovery and then reflect and learned about, you know, the career development is not a straight line from left to right or from down to up. The career development line is a curve. They move up and down over time. And what matters, you need to aware, you know, this is not straight like this. Most of time is really like this kind of curve. Also realize when you are in the downturn, so don't give up. Use that time to reflect, learn new skills, strengthen yourself quietly. Prepare yourself so when the curve turns to the upward again, you are ready. And then when you are at the top of the curve, catch the opportunity, create impact, and earn respect, but stay humble. Because leadership teach us one thing for sure, that another downturn will come. So those who really grow sustainably are not the one who never fall, but the one who really understand the rhythm and know how to learn on the way down and lead up when they are way up.
Yes, your story is somehow so typical for women's careers, right? When we feel that we are ready for a promotion, well, the majority of women never feel that they are ready for a promotion. But when we start thinking that it is the moment, right, to get a promotion, the first thing we do is let's get education, right? We do additional education. But you said so nicely, right? Of course, this is needed as well. But what is really needed is visibility, sponsors, as you said, and then focusing on your strengths and knowing your strengths. Wonderful tips. I really enjoyed our discussion, Lucy. Thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thank you for having me as well. I was also enjoying with all the great questions.
And to all of you out there, thank you for listening. Till next time, again in German.
Das war der Advanced Podcast mit Alkistis Petropaki. Weitere Informationen zu dieser Folge findest du in den Shownotes. Alles weitere zu Advanced gibt's online unter weadvance.ch, auf Instagram unter @weadvance.ch und auf LinkedIn.